Are your kitchen and bathroom remodels a little overdue? Well, now's your chance to call First Response Contracting. John Sellers will take care of you. 484-256-7136. They do residential and commercial, and they're licensed and insured. Give them a call at 484-256-7136. Hello, this is Brad Wiseman. You listen to Real Estate NU. We're back here in the studio. I don't know if you're watching this or listening to this, but if you're watching, you got to check out the new neon sign we have in the studio. It's pretty freaking awesome, I have to say. But yes, we have a really good show on tap here today. The show is going to be called Beyond the Home Purchase. Beyond the Home Purchase. That's what the show's called. And the reason for that is because we have Justin Perella here in the studio here, not in my office. Holy shit.
It is more and more studio every single time.
It is, isn't it? It's just become
you
so nice.
You posted those pictures?
Oh my gosh,
from the green table?
Oh, you like the green table?
It was the first time we did the show.
Yeah, no, the first time I did the show
was on the phone,
and that was during COVID, and I was in my house. I had just bought the equipment, and I was in my house, and I said, "Do you want to be a guinea pig?" And you said, "Yes."
Yeah.
So you were the absolute first person on Real Estate News.
Love
so
it.
That's cool.
Love
but
it.
Yeah, so jumping into this, I think there's going to be two parts of this podcast today. One's going to be about talking about when you purchase a house, it's not just the purchase of the house.
Yeah,
there's other things that are involved.
Yeah, we want to go into, and that's kind of the big picture. We want to get into. And this is all about my life events that I just had happen. So, and I have like two of them come up. And we just want to make sure everybody's aware that when you're buying a house, that's considered a life event. We'll go into that more. But that's going to be the first part of what you do, you know, when you buy the house.
Yeah.
And then we also want to go into some more positives, but big picture.
Yes, exactly. So the first thing is when you buy a house. And I just went through this recently too, or I should say it was a couple of years ago. And we had Brian Boland on here for a show talking about this actually, is when you purchase a house, we need to think about other things.
Yeah, a lot of other things.
One of the things would be life insurance.
Well, so I'm turning 40 soon.
And that means he's going to be 50 in March. That's what that meant. I got that out of that, believe it or not, you know.
I'm not one of those. It is what it is.
That's right.
And they can look when I graduate.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, so life events. This is putting on my financial advisor hat. So real quick, before I was a lender full time, I was a private banker. I had my life insurance. I had my 663. And what I would do is sit down with clients and do big picture stuff like, oh, what are you doing? When are you getting married? Blah, blah. So in financial world, there's things called life events, which everybody knows. You get married, you have a child, you turn 50, or even 30 or 40. These are life events that you need to be speaking with. Not me. Just wanted to check that box. I'm not a financial advisor. I cannot help you with that. But you need to speak with somebody about life insurance. You need to update your will. You need to make sure that your financials are in order. Like maybe you left a job and you need to roll an IRA, 401 over into an IRA. So those are all things that you need to be thinking about too when you buy a house, because you need to adjust some things, right?
Yeah.
You might need to pull from these 401s, IRAs to put down, especially for first-time homebuyers. We're seeing
that. Happens a lot.
Yeah. So these are things we want everybody to know that when you're going into buying a house, I mean, don't stress. For second time buyers, it's fine. They get it. But still, keeping this in mind that, okay, my numbers are changing. So what's the first thing that is going to change? I'm probably going from, in most cases, a $200,000 house to a $400,000 house. So do I have enough life insurance? Yeah. God forbid.
Something happens. You need to make sure that the mortgage gets paid
off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you're the breadwinner too.
Yep.
That's something you have to think of, is that if you're the breadwinner in your relationship, you know, that's important to make sure that the people that are left behind are going to be taken care of, that they don't have to worry about paying a mortgage. They don't have to worry about the bills and things like that. Yep. So it's a very responsible thing to do, but it's funny when you go to do these things like your will or those responsible type
morbid things.
It is. It's not fun. It's not like you sit there at the bar and go, "Hey, how's your will?"
Yeah.
You know, or you know, I mean, it's just.
Am I in it?
Yeah, exactly. You cheap son of a. No, but you know, it's one of those things where you have to do it, especially if you have children, if you have any responsibilities at all, you got to make sure you're covered.
It stinks because you know when you're going to get more life insurance, it's going to be more money, but that factors into
of course
what you need to figure out when you're buying a home. You know, what are the costs?
Yeah.
My insurance is going to go up now. Hopefully you're young enough, you're healthy enough that it's not going to jump through the moon, but You want to make sure you're prepared for all aspects of the home buying.
Absolutely. And also along with that too, you know, when you go to buy your house and you're kind of going through a lot of different things, something I would do maybe a year or two after, or even just a year after, look at your homeowner's insurance. Make sure you have the coverage you thought you had. Because a lot of times when you're in the middle of that big purchase, you might not be reading or you might not be following up exactly what you have. And I'll tell you one of the things that caught me. My wife had lost a diamond on her ring. And luckily she found it, which is a miracle in itself. We went to find out that we don't have any insurance for that. So we purchased a rider for that. Mm-hmm. But what I found out was even more important. I had finished my basement. Okay. And didn't know that my finished basement was not covered on my insurance because the guy had asked me, hey, is there anything you did in the last 10 years? I'm like, yeah, we finished our basement, whatever. And what he said is that if you would have had any kind of a backup, like a sewer backup or anything like that, typically you don't care if it's not finished. But if it's finished, you care. That's and guess what? It wouldn't have been covered. It would not have been covered because they covered me for the amount of what I had there, which was a raw basement instead of raw sewage. No, but you know, they covered me for. So those are the things too. Make sure, you know, after you move into the house, make sure you have the right coverage that you think you have. Yeah. You'd be surprised sometimes that you don't have the coverage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, there's a lot. Yeah. You need to keep track and just keep a checklist. You know, I think the more organized you are, absolutely, with all that stuff. And I would reevaluate it every so often. I know you've got nothing better to do than reevaluate your financials, but it is important. And there's a lot of money saved there.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's jump into the next part. We were talking, you know, a lot of times a lot of people like to avoid talking about the market that we're in. What's funny is when the market was great, we had no problem talking about it, right? You couldn't shut up about it. On Facebook, you saw everybody saying, oh, we sold it in 3 days, or oh, we sold it in an hour, and we got 57 offers, and you know, they're able to walk the dog for us and everything else. And you know, they're cleaning up. Yeah, exactly. They're cleaning up dog poop for a year just so they could buy the house. So the thing that's changing now is that it's not quite like that. It's not completely the other direction. But here's the thing. We need to be honest with people and tell them where we are. Mm-hmm. And I think we also, when you're honest with somebody, here's the way it always is. If you don't know about something, it's called fear of the unknown. Okay. If you know about something, it reduces the fear. All right. Right. Yep. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Right. So if we are able to educate the public, to show them and tell them what's really happening and where we really are, it will lessen the fear of purchase.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what I look at. So let's talk a little bit about it. The rate's at 6.25%. And we're not going to hide that. That's where it's at right now.
Right. And it might go up a little bit. You know, it's.
It might.
There's a lot of stuff, but gosh, these people online, it says it's 5.25%.
Yeah, don't fall into that trap.
Please don't fall into that trap. There's asterisks that are so small that you can't read. It's with points. Yeah. You know, just trust that your local lender has
100%.
The right. And correct. Nobody's trying to get one over.
Don't use the internet.
Just don't. Just call somebody. Even if you call a large bank too, sometimes there's other things that could go into play to those rates. So anyway, so getting back to it, what we want to just go over is the difference between an interest rate of X and Y and how much that affects your bottom line and your monthly payment, but also the grand scheme of things, which is your home value, which is also increasing while you're paying a couple $100. And then thirdly is the refi.
Yeah, refi. Buy the house you want now.
You brought up something that was cool about how after every recession. You showed it.
Yes.
Well, I didn't have to show up, but the rates coming out of a recession,
I mean, we're clearly in. We're in a recession,
They always say you find out after, but we're in it.
Yeah.
But if we get these rates now at 6.25, 6.5, you know, once we get out of this, we're looking at refi. So again, don't pay points. If you can suck it up another $100, $150 a month, just know that that's going to be your highest payment.
Yeah. Here's the benefit of the rates going up. There's probably less buyers in the market.
So guess what
the benefit is now? For somebody that's been looking for a long time, as the rates stay at that point, you're going to see that there's going to be more choices. It's going to be more available on the market. So don't run away. Stay around. Keep looking at properties. And the other thing we talked about. So after every recession, if you go to 1980, the rates dropped by 5% after that, during that recession. 1981 to 82 is another recession. Boy, they were back to back right there. Went from 18 to 13%. Then if you go to 1990, 11% to 8.75. Every recession has shown that the rate had gone up during the recession, and then eventually starts coming back down, which makes sense.
But big drops. They weren't
big drops.
Like,
no, they're like 2 points.
Yeah.
So let's go into the reality of these numbers. The reality of these numbers is such that if you were buying a $250,000 house, now Justin did these numbers for us before we went on the air here. If you went into a $250,000 property, this is what we're really talking about, guys. The rates were at 5% and nobody was screaming and crying and jumping up and down and making a hissy fit, okay? Mm-hmm. But as soon as they went up 6% or 6.25%, now the world's coming to an end and, you know, forget about it. So if you do $250,000 house, if you did it at 5% with 10% down, yeah, down, but 5% interest rate, your payment would have been $1,207 a month. That's principal and interest, easy for me to say.
For 5%, yeah.
For 5%. Then the same house, $250,000 house, at 6.25% with 10% down is $1,385. That's a difference of around $180 a month. I don't think that is as terrible as it sounds when you think of 5% to 6.25%. What do you think, Hugo? Does that sound terrible?
No, that's good. But you mentioned a great point earlier that if that amount, $180, makes a big difference for you, you probably shouldn't be looking at a house that is $250,000.
Exactly. It's about 50 a week. And then there was a couple other points you brought up, Brad. Man, today is just your day, Brad. So you brought up also, you know, the fact that you can refi that if that's the worst, worst you're going to do. You also said that if you break it down $50 a week, but your house is also increasing in value at that same time. So you're gaining, you know, you're gaining equity in your house while you're paying a little bit more. And then the third thing you brought up was, apartment renting.
Yeah.
You said renting. So if you're renting, you're throwing that money away.
And I hate to tell you, the rent is appreciating. Value is appreciating at the same rate as the interest rates.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna go from, listen to this, so 1207 to 1385, right?
Yeah.
For a $250,000 house. I hate to tell you, but rent for that house is probably gonna be going from $1,800 a month to $2,100 a month.
For
and
nothing.
Guess what? No appreciation.
Yeah.
No value. No investment. Right? Yeah.
That's
so
right.
When you start thinking about that, it makes sense because we were talking before, 4% on $250,000 is $10,000.
Yeah.
So let's say you did pay that extra $180 a month. Mm-hmm. That's $2,160 is what you'd be paying more that year without refinancing.
Yep.
And you would have made $10,000 a house. So what's your net? Around $8,000.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Did you lose money?
Nope.
No. You gained money. So
that's annually.
That's annually, exactly. So, you know, and that's at 4%. That's at a very conservative appreciation for real estate. So that's where it really starts to make some sense there.
Well, and I think the second time, third time home buyers understand that a little bit more, because there's nothing better than when you sell your first house when you've owned it and you realize how much money you have in there for basically doing nothing but paying your bills on time.
Yeah.
And it's just it's a wonderful feeling to know that you can roll all that money and have that down payment to the next house. I'll never forget that when I bought my first house.
Extra
money is me.
My wife and I are sitting on that now. We built our house for $220,000.
Yeah.
Oh, and we built it for $220,000 and, you know, it's worth, you know, way over $400,000 now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I didn't, I mean, we put in a kitchen, did some updating and stuff like that, but that's it. That was $200,000. That's $10,000 a year. It was $200,000 over 20 years.
Wow.
There it is. There's your $10,000 a year. So that's your 4%, which is an average.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That makes sense, right?
It does.
Yeah. If I would have been worried about interest rate, what would the, just imagine.
You were probably at 5.75.
It was actually close to 6 when I bought the property. In 2001, it was around that 6%, 5.75. Yeah. And look, it worked.
Yeah.
nothing happened. I'm still alive.
Yeah. It's... Well, it's funny too. You said something before. You said when you weren't complaining at 5%, but they were.
they were.
Because they were coming out of fours and threes.
Threes and fours. Yeah. Seriously, when it hit 6, that's when it was just, oh my gosh, 6%. This is terrible. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, it is funny. But do you have anything else to add or anything like this? I mean, I think we kind of covered what we wanted to. Hugo, do you have any questions?
No, but I do appreciate that clarification that you made about, you know, how the appreciation just moved faster than the inflation. And you, in that example that you mentioned, you made about $8,000, but people sometimes, and I myself didn't understand this before. So I imagine there's plenty of folks out there who do not understand this.
Yeah.
Financial picture of home
exactly, buying. And I think all they hear like the negativity, but they don't really look at the real deal, the details of what's going on. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting. And
I just want to say one thing. I am not a financial advisor, but I have a lot of great partners.
Disclaimer.
Yeah. I have a lot of great partners, so you can find me online. Just let me know, and I'd love to send you a couple names. I'm not just going to send you to one or two people. You can give them a call.
All right, sounds good, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
We're having some little technical difficulties here, so we're going to just say thanks for coming in.
I can do the background.
You can do the background music. No, thanks for coming out to listen to the show again. And so, Justin, you don't have anything else to add, right?
Nope.
You're good.
Good.
All right. That sounds good. That sounds good.
Go Eagles.
So, oh, geez. Look, we're going to get hate mail because of that. Wonderful. What if I'm a Dallas fan? What would that be? But no, thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.